The Old Testament lesson this morning is continuing in our series of the story, and this morning we are in Ruth, chapter 1. We're reading verses 1 through 18, which you may follow along on page 241 in your pew Bible. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. He had and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. She was sent out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will not. We'll return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her. She said no more to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. In this week, and a lot of weeks as a pastor, I hear the question time and time again, where is God? Where is God during times of personal crisis or national tragedies? Many of us, I think, when we go through our hardest times, long for a divine voice to cut through the chaos and the distortion to give us a clear sense that God is with us, to give us a divine sign to point us out of a blind alley. We long for the illness to be miraculously cured, that job to suddenly be offered, the addiction to be overcome. When God seems silent and unresponsive to our heartfelt prayers, and the only sound we hear is the cacophony of pain and confusion, we can get frustrated, even angry, and perhaps we even want to shout out, "Forget you, God." Seems like a dark place to start this morning, but I think that's probably the context of what's going on in this book, in Ruth. Scripture is filled with stories of people who seem to be in dead ends, people who have lost everything for no good reason. In today's lesson, we are given some of the backstories, the time of the judges. As we go through the story, we've kind of gone in order, so we know this is situated where it is in the canon for this particular reason. It's a dark time in Judah. The house of bread, which is what the translation of Bethlehem is without bread. And amidst this time, we have a story of a very tragic character indeed, Naomi. Naomi's left that land to go to Moab. One thing you should know about Moab is it is the land of the enemies of Judah. They don't like each other. And so in this time, she marries someone in that land. She has daughters-in-law, and she is now, though, returning, hearing that there is food to be had in her old land. She has no longer reason to stay. Elimelech, her husband, is dead. His name actually means God is king, which is interesting translation. God is king is dead. How interesting. Her two sons are also dead. In this time, in this era, there is no provision for widows. There is nothing to hold her up. She will be destitute. She has nothing but the hope that her own people will accept her back into her place, and she'll find maybe some sympathy there. And so she goes back. She says, "The hand of the Lord is upon me." And how many times when I've heard the question, "Where is God?" It feels like that. Why has this tragedy come? What is God doing to me? Later in the story, we will hear her say to her fellow Bethlehemites, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which translates bitterness. And we heard her refer to that bitter way her life is now. And so all she has left are these two daughters-in-law, both of whom are Moabites, enemies of Judah. It may be out of consideration for their future, which we hear about, or maybe even fear of how they'll be received in Bethlehem, that she tells them to go back. Don't follow her. Orpah obeys. And actually, that would have been expected. Ruth refuses. Ruth, who would have had an opportunity to start a new life back in Moab, to get married, to have children, to settle down in a place that would have accepted her as who she is not willing to go back. Instead, she decides to risk staying with Naomi. She sacrifices safety and acceptance. She severs ties with her culture and her religion, all for the sake of clinging to Naomi. Ruth, whose name means friend, affords us a picture then of what authentic friendship looks like. There's another context that you want to know is happening in this story. At the time that it came to fruition, the time this story had reached completion, we know it was a time when Ezra and Nehemiah are attempting to restore Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. These two leaders, who have books named for them, try to purify Israel and its ethnic identity by casting out foreign wives and their children from the land. Listen closely to that. To rid themselves of cultural pollution, which they fear could result in another judgment of God. So whether it's religiously or politically motivated, this is a recurrent theme, not only in Israel's history, but our own. Border crossing for Ruth then was risky. Sticking with her mother-in-law was not a sweet, sentimental thing to do. Oftentimes, this passage is read in the context of weddings. Friends, this had no joy to it in this experience. Trust me. It was bold defiance to a powerful wave of isolationist nationalism. Gary Charles, a pastor and writer in our own presbytery, writes that for a Moabite, particularly one who had been part of a mixed marriage with a Hebrew man, to set foot in Bethlehem would have been to set off all the cultural, social, and religious detectors of their time. Ruth, the outsider, the enemy, is willing to move into harm's way all so that Naomi would not be alone in her despair. Each of us probably had times in our lives when we have been Naomi. It may have been a death that brought it on, but any loss can strike at the very core of our identity. It may be that we believe we will never be the person we once were. Never have that happiness, that peace, that assurance that our lives are going to be all right again. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. For the next few moments in silence, I want you to think about that. Think about when your life has been a reflection of Naomi's life. And now I'd like you to think about a time maybe you've been Ruth. A time when being a friend to someone required a sacrifice. Perhaps it meant going outside your comfort zone or even risking your personal safety. Maybe it meant loving someone that your family or friends would not accept. So now for the next few moments, I'd like you to think about that time. Ruth, in this story, reverses Naomi's trajectory from death to hope. Where is God in this text, in this story? God is in the relationship. Both Naomi and Ruth experience that inbreaking of God when their faithful relationship progresses, when they risk with each other. Dr. Kathy Sackenfeld, a Princeton professor and writer, puts this: an important theme to the whole narrative of Ruth is underscored in the way faithful human relationships reflect divine care and therefore the covenantal care of community. You see, friends, I think part of the problem for us is that we look for God disembodied. When we're in the midst of crisis in our lives, we look beyond the people in our lives. But I believe that through the Holy Spirit, that's where God dwells. God did not reveal his will and intentions to humanity through a booming voice from the sky, but through people, ranging from prophets to prostitutes and peasants. Yes, Naomi would have had an insight that Ruth should catch Boaz's attention, which you'll read later on. But Ruth risked being taken advantage of by the men in the fields for the chance of encountering Boaz. Ruth, whose mixed lineage and lowly social status made her the most unlikely person to help Naomi out of her crisis, becomes her salvation. It is not then Boaz who redeems, but Ruth. An outsider who moved to give life through her willingness to die. Ruth, we are told, becomes the mother of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of King David. And ultimately, we are told in the Gospel of Matthew, the ancestor of Jesus Christ. That's right, Jesus is not of pure Hebrew blood. He is despised and rejected, we are often reminded, not just because of his radical teachings, but rather it is built into his human DNA. And yet, like Ruth, Jesus is the faithful friend who risked his life for those he loved. He entered into places that rejected him so he could show what God looks like. Where are you, God? God showed up in Jesus to answer that question. Jesus says, I am with you in the pain. I am with you in the darkest times. I am with you when you are angry with me. I am with you when you want to end it all. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Look around you and see, I am in the lives right in front of you. See me in the face of those who smile at you. See me in the eyes of those who cry with you. See me in the hands that touch you. God is the extra measure of relatedness that all people seek. God is here. And so right now, if you are Naomi, if you tend to turn those who love you away and look for God in solitude, seeking answers in silence, or maybe giving up on the notion that God is with you at all, maybe it is time to open yourself up to that person who wants to hear about your life and who wants to journey with you through your pain. Or maybe right now God is calling you to be Ruth, urging you to listen to a person whose life seems to be on a downward spiral. God may be moving you to join on their dark path in ways that are uncomfortable and where you seem unsure or perhaps even scared. A pastor in our own presbytery tells a story of when she was a child in high school. And during Advent, she remembers the pastor gave a charge to the congregation to find someone that they did not like or did not even love and go and do something kind for that person. Well, immediately for this pastor, a person came into her mind. It was her high school Spanish teacher who seemed to treat her so unfairly. And she had this woman's face in her mind and she couldn't shake it away. And so she said, well, the kindest thing I can do is bake some banana nut bread because I love banana nut bread and take it to her house. Well, this woman, and this was the day and age, well, you could still find out where your teachers lived. She found out the address of her teacher. And as she got closer to that area, she realized that her teacher lived in a very, very rough part of town. And as she went to the door of her teacher and knocked, she realized that teacher's family life was probably very hard. That pastor went where it was not safe, went where it was not comfortable, to be a friend, to listen to that teacher's life. And that set her on the trajectory where she has now ended up blessing many lives as a pastor, going with people into places that are uncomfortable and where there is pain and sorrow. So today, listen to the inner prompting of the Spirit. You may be the person whom God has called to transform someone's bitterness to pleasantness once more. You may be the sign of God's faithfulness to that person is looking for. And just like Ruth's faithfulness, ours too can have far-reaching effects. And like this pastor described, when we risk to love those who are the outsiders, the immigrants, those who our society would say we need to fear, we live out our Jesus. when we show that we are not afraid of what some in our society will think and say or even accuse us of, then we begin to live beyond the walls that would define us and confine us. We become the Ruths, breaking down those walls of distrust built with bricks of ignorance, suspicion, and fear. With each relationship where we trust and love, we give an answer to where is God. We live into a kingdom that is not of this world, where greatness is not defined by conformity to ideals of nationalism, but by believing the good news that God is sovereign, God is control, that God calls women and men of all tribes and creeds one family to share a life at the deepest level. And so, as the psalmist said, we don't place our trust in princes and rulers, but only in the one who reigns forever. Today, this week, show the people around you that there's a better way to live. When they ask, "Where is God?" show them. All praise be unto God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has come for us in Jesus Christ, who will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning.